Welcome to the podcast of Everything Paranormal. It's the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring Joe Shortridge and me, Jen Shortridge.
Hello.
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 Why are we talking like this?
I don't know.
We're possessed by ghosts of clowns or something that just make us talk in funny voices.
At least I don't have my Elvis costume on.
Well, you should. You should wear it every show, Joe.
Yeah.
And your Elvis glasses. Some cool sideburns.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. A honka honka.
Elvis Fest was last weekend.
Was it really? Yeah. We missed it.
I didn't go.
Yeah.
Like, I used to love going there because I did the photos there. After a while, that was like so much work.
It was so
I think we mentioned this
hot.
On a show before.
Every week or, you know, every year that it comes up, it's always
degrees.
On the hottest weekend of the year. But man.
But one thing, though, it never rained. All the years I did that show, it never rained.
That's cool.
But anyhow.
It was raining today. Pouring.
Yeah.
I left my house to come over to the studio, and it was dry. I looked out the window. It was dry. Shut and locked the back door. Walked out. It started downpouring. Got soaked. I probably look like a drowned rat, but that's okay because this is radio and not television.
Yeah, I was like, I gotta go ride my bike. I'm not gonna sit in this house. So I packed everything up. You know, I'm like, I feel like I'm going on vacation every time I go somewhere because, you know, you gotta carry the ghost hunting gear in case you meet somebody.
Yes.
Gotta carry the photography gear in case you see something.
Mm-hmm.
I carried
stickers
and everything. And then I carried a cooler of drinks.
You need
put
a
the
purse.
Bike gun. And then.
You need a man purse. A merce.
And I headed out, and I was like, I'm going to Dundee, Michigan. I'm going to look at the waterfall thingy, the
dam.
Yeah.
Could have went to the haunted mill there.
I did walk around it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So anyhow, I get there, and I'm like, go down to the parking lot, and I can't park anywhere because there's a farmer's market going
you
on.
You should have bought a watermelon.
That watermelon you cut up yesterday?
Yeah.
It's so bad, I threw it out.
Oh, yeah. I
think it was a few weeks too old.
Yeah, no good. I went to the zoo this morning.
Wow.
I know. This is the first time in the summertime I've been there in like 20 years. Not even exaggerating. So I bought a membership this year. They had some kind of special. And my sister and her grandkids, so it would be my great-niece and great-nephew, and we walked around, and I was really surprised I wasn't winded, but we ended up didn't even get any food, although I did get some Dippin' Dots, which is like the bomb.
What is that?
Oh my. So it's like ice cream, but it's little tiny pellets of ice cream.
All right.
And it's super, super frozen. I don't know if they freeze it with dry ice or whatever it is. And they're little, it almost looks like, you know, the styrofoam that's in bean bags.
Yeah.
It looks like that, but it's ice cream.
Oh,
and it's super frozen. And then it melts in your mouth. And the best ice cream ever.
All right.
Dippin' Dots.
I have no idea.
Dippin' Dots. But, oh my gosh, it was so cool. They have so many, like, people don't know the Toledo Zoo is like one of the best zoos.
I think this year, again, it won the award.
But yeah, it's just amazing. They have a new aquarium there, which was phenomenal. They had sharks and they have a touch tank where you can touch all kinds of.
You can touch the tank?
You touch the tank. That sounds kind of kinky, but no, they have like stingrays and fish and sharks that you can reach in and touch. I didn't do it because, you know, I'm like germaphobe, but, the kids enjoyed it. And they have like a splash pad for the little kids, which is like, you know, because it was hot out today and all the little kids were like, and just running around. And, you know, it's just so cool. It's a really, really nice zoo. It's so different from like, you know, when we were kids.
100 years ago when we used to go.
So like they used to have these big carnivore house and the lions and tigers and bears or whatever were all in just these metal cages inside of this old brick and limestone building. Now it's the cafe.
Yeah.
And you can sit in the places where the lions used to be, and it was just literally like cement and bars.
Yeah.
Now you can sit in there and eat your lunch. And of course the animals all have like, you know, nice, you know.
that's
roaming
why
it, spots.
That's why it's rated one of the best in the country because of how the work.
And Joseph.
Yeah.
I got to ride the train.
Oh, geez.
Through the Africa safari. And I saw an ostrich and a zebra, two zebras, and lion. No, did I say lion? No, not in there. I saw a lion, but not in there. I saw they had wolves there.
Yep.
And they had African dogs. And they had coyotes.
Oh, interesting.
Which we have a story about.
Yeah,
don't we?
I printed it out.
Okay.
I printed it out myself.
Tell us.
Well, well, you remember we were at the, we mentioned on another show about the Erie Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And about the vampire crypt.
Yes. We have to go back.
Yeah, let's go back. It's only halfway on the map.
We learned that lesson.
If you're traveling from, was it New York?
Mm-hmm,
we were coming?
Mm-hmm.
If you're traveling from New York and it says that Erie, Pennsylvania is halfway, don't believe it. It's
yeah.
not.
It added like 4 hours onto our trip because we thought we were taking a shortcut.
So anyways.
Anyways.
This is from a news story,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know who from because the letters are so tiny when it printed it up. I don't know. But anyhow, in Erie, Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
in the past month, the adult coyotes had become aggressive with some dogs who were on their leashes being walked by their owners in the cemetery.
Okay.
Erie cemetery officials contacted the Pennsylvania Game Commission and an independent trapper to remove and relocate the two adult coyotes and their litter of two or three pups that are living in the cemetery.
Okay.
Now, this is kind of weird. The name of the female coyote is Maxine.
Oh, my gosh.
Just like last week, Dana's, the ghost at the tattoo shop, is named Maxine, which is kind of bizarre.
It's like 6 degrees to 222.
Yeah, yeah. She's lived in the cemetery for the past 7 years. The male coyote joined her about a year ago.
Mm.
The two adult coyotes had a litter in the den in the cemetery.
Aw, puppies.
Little puppies. In the past month, the coyotes have become more aggressive, like I said. And it says here that, contrary to belief, the coyotes were not shot.
Oh, okay.
They're being relocated. But didn't Reverend Swoop, didn't you say?
Yeah, I saw something on Facebook that, you know, they said that they had taken care of or gotten rid of the coyotes. So I don't know.
So, yeah, whether shot or what. But, yeah, we mentioned that before, how the coyotes would walk up to the people that were there and it kind of freaked everybody out, but they were nice.
Well, just yeah, it was just the female one.
Okay.
She was friendly. She would just be like laying around in the cemetery. But
just
isn't it
out.
Interesting how like animals? Okay, so like she's there by herself,
yeah.
like for the longest
7 years.
How does this other coyote find another coyote? Like, where do they come from? Are they just all over? Or?
Coyotematch.com.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I don't know.
All right.
I'm not an outdoor person.
All right. Well, let's get into our topic today. And Joe and I have a like, really cool topic today. We are talking about the Bellwitch Haunting.
Yeah.
So we're going to tell you a little bit about it. It's kind of cool story. It's one of the most famous hauntings in American lore, legend and lore.
It's supposedly the only haunting that is actually related, I guess you say, to the death of a person.
Mm. Documented.
Documented.
Yeah,
yeah
really.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see here now, Joe. I don't know why I'm like crazy voices today. All right. So anyways, okay. The Bellwitch, and people probably saw the movie. I think they did a movie about it.
There's been a lot of movies and
yeah.
a lot of books. I mean, it's the best known witch in America, even though I didn't know anything about it before
yeah.
we did the research.
Well, you know, we learn yeah. new things as we go. Okay, so basically, so the Bellwitch or the Bellwitch Haunting is a legend from Southern folklore. It's centered on the 19th century Bell family of Adams, Tennessee. So
okay.
it's down in Tennessee.
Yep.
John Bell Sr., who made his living as a farmer, resided with his family along the Red River in Northwest Robertson County in an area that's currently within the town of Adams. So according to legend, from 1817 to 1821, his family and the local area came under attack by this invisible entity, which they described at the time as a witch.
Okay.
So the entity, this is what's unique about it. The entity had the ability to speak, also physically affect the environment that they were in, and then change forms, which is like kind of unique. So it also, which, you know, you read about this too, is that it could be in more than one place.
Yeah.
Across distances within like a rapid speed, and had the power of prophecy, which is kind of scary. So the Bell Witch eventually at one point named itself.
Okay. I was going to say, did it, because we keep calling it the Bell Witch, but I remember hearing that it had a name.
Yeah. So the entity claimed at one point to be called Old Kate Bats. Bats. I don't think I said that
right. Bats or Bates?
B-A-T-T-S. So that would be Bats, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, so Kate Bats, witch. And and then would respond when they would call it Kate Bats. The physical part of the activity was centered on the Bell's youngest daughter, Betsy, and her father. So that would have been John Bell Sr.
Okay.
And Kate really was super displeased when Betsy had become engaged to a local young lad, and his name was Joshua Gardner. So the hauntings began in the late summer of 1817 with John Bell witnessing the apparition of a dog with the head of a rabbit. Bell fired at the animal, but it disappeared.
Yeah.
So then the activity kind of moved into the house, and they would started off with like sounds of scratching and knocking, and then like lip smacking, and sheets were pulled off the beds. As time went on, it got really intense. It started pulling people's hair. It would slap people. It would pinch people. They would get stuck with pins, and the most focused, or you know, whoever got the brunt of it, was this Betsy, who was the daughter. So at the time, so then the Bells, like, okay, we need help with this. So they went, and they went to their family friend, who his name was James Johnson. So they're like, come on over, you got to witness this. He's like, all right, I'm coming over.
Are you paraphrasing that?
A little bit.
Yeah.
So after they retired for the night at the Bell home, Johnson was awakened by the same phenomena. So in the morning, he told John Bell that it was a spirit, just like in the Bible. So the word started to spread all around the town, which some people came from like really far away just to speak with this witch. The apparition began to speak out loud, so people were like hearing it audibly, and was have like full conversations. And at one point, even repeating word for word two sermons that were given 13 miles apart.
Yeah. And that's where it comes in, where people say that it can be in two places at one time.
Which is really creepy. All right. So John Johnson, the son of James Johnson, who had come over, devised a test for the witch. Something no one outside the family would know. Asking the entity, what is the Dutch step-grandmother in North Carolina, what would she say to the slaves if she thought they did something wrong? So the witch replied with the grandmother's accent, "Hut tut, what has happened now?" And on another occasion, an Englishman stopped and offered to investigate. And remarking about his family overseas, the witch suddenly became to mimic his English parents. And again in the early morning, the witch spoke to him in the voices of his parents, and you know, other people had heard it as well. So the Englishman quickly left that morning and later wrote to the Bell family that the entity had visited him and his family in England, and he apologized for being a skeptic.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this entity visited his family.
Yeah.
Wherever he lived.
In England.
That's crazy. Yeah. So
frequent flyer miles are adding up.
And it's kind of weird because at times the spirit had displayed some kindness, which is odd, especially towards Lucy, John Bell's wife. the most perfect woman to walk the earth, was the quote. The witch would give Lucy fresh fruit and sing hymns to her and show John Bell Jr. a measure of respect. But she hated John Bell Sr.
That is so weird, yeah. So in other words, John Bell Sr. Mm-hmm. and the daughter must have done something to this witch. And I don't know.
Part of our research, didn't it say that John Bell had killed a man before they moved to Tennessee?
Yeah,
okay.
Yes.
So
maybe that was a relation to the witch.
It could have been.
I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, referring to John Bell Sr. as old Jack, the witch claimed that she had intentions to kill him and signaled the intention through curses, threats, and afflictions. So the story kind of climaxes with the Bell patriarch being poisoned by the witch. So we found that they believe the poison that mm-hmm. they found was arsenic.
Yeah.
They ruled out, because of the way it described, like, the bottle was like a pitch black.
Yeah, it was a pitch black substance in a bottle. And when the son came in and found the dad dead, he actually grabbed the bottle, mm-hmm. cursed the witch, and threw the bottle into the fire. And it blew a blue flame, which came out of the fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
As it described it as flying out of the fireplace as a blue flame.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it said emitting no smoke or something like that. I don't know.
So they did research of like what type of chemicals would have been available mm-hmm. at that time in that era that would emit that type of blue flame. And the only thing that they could rule out, there was like three different ones, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Three different types of chemicals. And the only one that would do that, that was readily available to anybody, was arsenic.
Arsenic. And they say that the arsenic itself wasn't black, but other things that they had in the house mm-hmm. could cause it a black fluid.
Okay. So once he is poisoned and they find him dead, which is really bizarre.
Well, he was sick in bed because it was a thing where the ghost mm-hmm. kept afflicting him with things. He was sick in bed, and then the one morning they came in and he was dead with the substance next to the bed.
Okay. Well, that's just scary. Mm-hmm. So this entity, and I don't know, would you say it was a witch or do you think it was a demon?
Sounds to me more like a demon, but we'll call it a witch because that's what everybody refers to it as.
Because
the Bell Witch.
I don't know if they really of things as demonic at that
time.
Yeah,
they didn't. It was always a witch.
Okay.
And seeing that it made itself form as a woman, that's another reason why they called it a witch. Well, did you know that when they found him dead next to the bed,
mm-hmm.
the witch actually spoke?
It said, "I'll give old Jack a big dose of that last night," which fixed him.
Yeah.
So John Jr. quickly threw the vial into the fireplace and burned into a bright bluish flame mm-hmm. and shot up the chimney.
Yep.
Okay, so then at John Bell's funeral, this is very interesting, it was one of the largest that had ever been held in Robertson County, Tennessee. As the family and friends began to leave the graveyard, the entity began laughing and singing, and was singing a song about Brandy. I don't know. She's a fine girl.
I was going to say that.
And it said that her singing didn't stop until the very last person left the graveyard. So this is multiple people.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's one of the largest funerals at that time, and all of these people were hearing it, that's really creepy. It's so interesting, too. Okay, so the entity then visited Lucy, who was John's wife, so
yeah.
now it's his widow, and told her that she would return for a visit in 7 years. So where is she going in the 7 years? I don't know. But in 1828, as promised, the entity returned.
Okay.
All right. And it then mostly centered its visit around John Bell Jr. So
the next heir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Direct descendant.
Direct descendant male.
Yeah. So the entity at that time then was discussing things like the origin of life and civilizations, Christianity, the need for mass spiritual reawakening. And it's interesting because it was predicting accurate predictions of the Civil War and then like some other events. So the entity said farewell for like 3 weeks, promising to visit John Bell's most direct descendant in 107 years from then.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know what's the interesting thing about the number seven. So it was 7 years mm-hmm. it was going to come back, and then in 107
yeah,
it was going to come back. I don't know. And so that would have been 1935. And then the closest living relative, direct descendant of John Bell at that time was a Nashville physician named Dr. Charles Bailey Bell. So Dr. Bell himself wrote a book about the Bell Witch, which published in 1934. And then he died in 1945. And just interesting
yeah.
because it got a lot of national attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even Andrew Jackson came and investigated it.
Right. The president of the United States yeah. at the time. Like, that is, like, huge.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, like, nowadays, like, you know, Barack Obama going on. Oh, wait. Who's the president now? Donald Trump going on ghost adventures.
Which he would.
He probably would. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
One thing that when we talk about the poisoning,
mm-hmm.
it really made me think about, okay, so the daughter and
Betsy.
And the dad got the brunt of the
hauntings.
Abuse
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
So think about this. They found it as arsenic poisoned him.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, before I learned more about it, the first thing that popped in my head was he was abusing the daughter and she poisoned him.
Could be.
And made up this story to cover her tracks. But, and then after a while though, they talk about how other people have seen it and mm-hmm. at the funeral it sang, all that. So that's what it was. I was thinking at first when I was reading this, I'm like, it's a clear cut case of the guy was abusing his kid and the kid killed him. But then you get all these accounts of people seeing it and other people hearing it and mm-hmm. seeing it and everything. So,
and you wonder, like, okay, back then, you know, they didn't have a lot of explanation. What if somebody just was like, had a ventriloquist voice?
Something.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah. No, but you think
I'm
about stuff like that.
I'm not a total skeptic, but, you know, I always think, okay, what if?
Yeah.
I'm a what if person, you know, like, because that's how my author brain goes.
But then also you go into the, well, okay, so maybe it was. Maybe she did poison him, but was it the witch possessing the guy to create the, or to do these things? You know, you never know. I mean, it's so bizarre, and it's, still, you go into that town and there's posters everywhere and mm-hmm. there's big plaques. And even when you come into the town, the sign that, you know, the welcome sign mm-hmm. has a witch on it, you know. But so after the hauntings, the witch has been said to go into the cave that's on the property. Now, this cave, it's a limestone
mm-hmm.
cave. You know, quartz and limestone cave. And you see pictures of it. And it is like a real cave where the limestone is all turned into stalactites and stalagmites mm-hmm. and all that. And it's...
No, you can walk in it, right?
Yeah, they do tours.
Okay.
From what I read online, it seems like it's really hard to get in there because they're real particular about everything. But, you know, it's the most famous witch... So I'm sure people are there.
Roadside attraction.
Yeah, they're going to all bring all their ghost hunting gear and everything. But there's been several TV shows that have gone into this cave. And, you know, you can go online. And I'm not going to say the name of the show.
Yeah.
But it's like an adventure show for ghost lovers.
Yeah.
You know, they were there and they did. But there was other ones too.
Yeah.
And people have actually taken rocks out of the cave.
Really?
And return the rocks because bad things happen to them in their life.
You know, we've heard that several times about different places where people... Where was the other place?
Well, one was Robert the Doll. Somebody took this picture.
That's
if you take
right.
this picture.
Yeah, without asking his uh-huh. permission. But there was another place that people had taken something and it had said it's bad luck. They brought it back, yeah, and I can't remember what it was. It was something like that. Some piece of stones or mm-hmm. I can't remember what. Anyways, I'll have to go back and listen to our old shows.
But yeah, and a lot of people take pictures of the cave entrance, mm-hmm. and they get a lot of apparitions in their photos right at the entrance of the cave.
Neat. I don't know, like, you know, it just seems, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, but anytime you get limestone, quartz, and water in one, it just seems like a vortex for paranormal
it's
activity.
Just the energy, I believe.
Yeah,
I mean,
because quartz has energy, right?
Okay. And so is water. And
yeah, that's true.
One of the owners of a store close by, mm-hmm. he actually has a store in the school. They turned the school into like little shops.
Okay.
And he was out hunting one day, and he saw a black panther.
Shut up.
Okay. So he was following this panther, and it started to run and jumped over a creek. And as it was jumping over the creek, it disappeared. And
Shut
he actually
up.
Has photographs of the footprints in mm-hmm. the snow and no footprints on the other side. See, now that has a big significance, seeing a black panther in Tennessee, which there's no such thing. But
I've never heard that before.
Well, it's one of the folklores from the cryptids. A black panther. Remember Reverend Swoop saw one.
The paranormal pastor. Uh-huh. He told us that story when we were in Erie.
Yeah,
that
he saw a black panther. Well, what's interesting about this is the Bell Witch has been known to take shapes of dogs mm-hmm. and of what could be a black panther.
Oh, my gosh.
Because the first sighting of her was a dog with the rabbit's head.
Interesting. Well, it's interesting because what kind of activity do they say happens in that cave?
Well, that's a weird thing because they nowadays, you know, the ghost teams, ghost hunting teams, you know, I like I say, I don't want to say them TV shows, but they usually do like an adventure to go there, you know, but anyhow, a lot of teams go there and they don't get much activity around the house and that. They get some, you know, but the majority of the stuff that they get is in the cave. So that's why they believe that that is where the ghost is at right now. And you get everything in there. You get the apparitions. Mm-hmm. You get the sounds. They hear voices in there. You know, all the standard.
Orbs.
Orbs.
Well, let's go, man. Let's get in the car. We need a
road. I want to go. I looked it up, and it's a four-hour drive.
Is it really from us?
Yeah, it's right at the Tennessee border.
Oh.
So let's think here. It takes an hour to get to, or 3 hours to Dayton. Mm-hmm. About 4 hours to Kentucky, and it's right about that same area.
Huh.
So let's go.
All right.
Let's go next weekend.
Stay tuned, kids.
Let's go next weekend.
Ugh. Want to travel. Next weekend's our weekend off, Joe.
I know.
I'm going to lay in the sun. I'm like so pasty pale. I haven't even seen the sunshine.
I'm going to be out on the pontoon boat, which, by the way, I was on the pontoon boat. I was on a pontoon boat today. I was going to take a selfie of myself on the pontoon boat.
Selfies.
In Cabela's parking lot.
Nice.
It was parked there, they had a ladder up the back of it, so you look at it. So I got up on it.
Rabbit hole. Rabbit heads, rabbit head holes. All right. So the entity that had tormented the Bell family and the Red River settlement for almost 200 years, this torment went on, which is so interesting that it went on for so long. Mm-hmm. It's often blamed for unexplainable manifestations that occur near the old Bell farm today. Faint sounds of people talking and children playing can sometimes be heard in the area. And they say it's not uncommon to see candlelights dancing through the dark fields late at night. Joe's dancing in the studio here. And it said photography is especially difficult. Some pictures that are taken in the area will show mist, orbs of light, and other phenomenon, including human-like figures that were not present when the pictures are taken.
Yeah.
So does that mean there's more than one entity? Or is it dividing itself?
It could be. I never thought of that. Now that you just put that in my mind, yeah.
That's a whole nother rabbit hole. But like, okay, so if it can be in multiple places at multiple times.
There you go.
Can an entity split itself?
Ooh.
Oh, man. I got some, Well, I just blew my mind.
Reverend Swope, are you listening? Are you listening, Reverend Swope?
Mind
please call us.
Blown. Yes, we need to call. We need to call you, Robin.
Yeah. But.
Okay. So
one other thing that I, in my research, I found out that lots of times, it's so difficult to take pictures of it because it causes all your electronics to stop working. Which is things that we've heard that before at places.
That's happened to us at places.
Yeah, Gettysburg. Yeah, many times.
So Joe and I, we probably talked about this on the other show, but Joe and I, when we went to Gettysburg, we went out on the battlefield. Now, it closes at, what is it, dusk? As soon as the sun
7
sets.
7 o'clock or something
sunset,
like that, yeah.
You can't be on the battlefield. It's like a major, it's like a felony to be out there. But I went out and I walked in maybe, 50 yards or so into the battlefield, and my K2 meter was going off. Now, there's nothing around there. There's no power lines or anything. And this K2 meter is going off crazy. Both my phones died. I had two cell phones. They both died. I had them charged up before we went out there. They both completely drained.
Video camera wouldn't work.
It happens.
It happens all the time.
And
that's where we go back to saying that these entities feed on electricity.
Yeah, energy. So, like, if there isn't electronics energy it'll come and get our energy, just think how drained we feel sometimes after we get out of these places.
I know.
Like, you know, after we went to the last one.
The prison.
Man, oh, man. I was like, out. I was out. It took me like 3 weeks to really start feeling like myself again. I still don't feel like myself. I've just been in a funk.
Funky.
Well, like four weekends in a row we went ghost hunting.
Yeah.
That's a lot
for
somebody who's empathic. So like I need to recharge my batteries. I bought some new, it's pink Himalayan Epsom salt.
Yeah.
Like bath soak, so I could try to recharge the good positive ions in my body.
Why don't you just do it like we do with the dowsing rods? Just go find a cooler to sit in.
I'll just crank the AC up in my house to recharge myself. I need to put our dowsing rods in the fridge, by the way.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Do you have any stories?
I have lots of stories. What do you want to hear? You want to hear the time that Kendra and I peeled out in the parking lot over on Alexis Road and I almost fell out of the car?
No, I want to hear stories about the Bell Witch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got one more.
Okay.
All right. It's just some interesting little tidbit here. So it says the cause of the Bell's torment almost 200 years ago, as well as today's horrid, unexplainable manifestations, it just remains a mystery. Mm-hmm. They don't know why. So numerous theories abound about, why there was this Bell Witch. So people, everybody has their own opinion, but there's really no proof explanation of why she chose this particular guy at this particular time. But they, everybody agrees that there was something very wrong at this Red River settlement in the early 1800s, that they may well be something wrong there today. But who knows? I mean, he could have purchased that land. It could have been Native American land.
Well, it was. That was a big thing it's, we always say it's an Indian burial ground, but this was. And that's one big thing about the cave that I forgot to bring up is it is an Indian burial ground. And within the walls of the cave, they found bones.
Really?
You go inside the cave and you look up. And when you look up, you're looking underneath a burial ground.
Oh, my gosh.
And they have found. Now, that's one of the stories, too. And I only found it once in the research that we did.
Mm-hmm.
Was one of the reasons why it said that the Bell Witch started haunting them is the son was in the cave with a friend and they found a skull. So they took the skull out of the cave, and when they're running up the porch of the Bellwitch or Bell family farm, a tooth fell out of the skull in between the boards in the porch. When they took the skull inside, the dad reprimanded them, and they put the skull back, but the tooth was left under the porch, and that's what started the hauntings. And that's why they think that the Bellwitch was actually a haunting of a Native American. And that's what started. But I've only seen that in one piece of literature, that story, one time. So I don't know if that's the story. But the cave is a well-known burial ground. Now, there is, in when you go in the cave, there is a coffin or burial spot in the cave. And it looks like a coffin where there was a body laying there and somebody stole the body.
Shut up.
Then again, in research, I heard that that was actually put there as like a memorial.
Okay.
So it's not a real burial spot. But then again, you get in other places saying, oh, it's a real burial spot and somebody stole the body out and that's what caused it. So who knows?
It's all interesting because, you know, there's so many stories of disturbed Native American burial grounds. I don't know if they were just so tied to the land and their, you know, spirituality or their beliefs were tied and so strong that. And how long do you think they were here? Like the Native Americans were here before?
Probably 1,000 years, 2,000 years. I don't know. I mean, what do you consider a Native American though?
Well, probably anybody before the English settlers.
Exactly.
Came in.
So it could be well back into 1,000,000 years, because now they say they
humans haven't been around that long,
have
we?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I gotta watch History Channel or something.
Yeah. But
we've heard that so many times.
The out of Africa thing is what I'm thinking of. But they say, if you notice a lot of your history stuff in the United States, I was watching a show about a rock in the mountains of Virginia, I believe, that they're dating to 300,000 years, and there's carvings on it. So who knows? I mean, that's something I'd have to do some research on. Maybe we'll ask Stanton Freeman. That'd be a good thing to get him on the show up at Michigan Paracon, August 24th through the 26th.
So excited.
In Sault Ste. Marie. He's going to be there, and maybe that's something that I've been trying to think of what to ask him because I want to get him on the show. Maybe that's a good thing to ask him there.
Yeah, definitely. You know? Why? Yeah.
You know, how long has civilization been in the United States? You know, because they say that all civilization came from Africa and all that, but then now there's different stories and all. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? But, you know, we talk about Indian burial grounds.
I think it'd be great if we could get somebody in, like an expert in, on Native American burials.
Well, let's work on that. Let's find out. But I know that in Ohio here, there is a lot. And in Tennessee, and that there's a lot of Indian burial grounds because we are the mound builders.
Yes. Remember we saw that mound across across from West Virginia's Penitentiary.
Yeah, in Moundsville.
Oh, okay, Moundsville, which is interesting. There's a giant
mound. Which is weird because Ohio had the mound builders, but why did they build it in West Virginia? Because it wasn't West Virginia at the time.
Oh, I don't know. What the hell?
But no, we got
That was
Serpent Mound. We have Miamisburg Mound.
Yeah, we went to that one also.
So, yeah, there's a lot of Indian burial grounds around here. And you got to remember, too, is it's just been like maybe 1,000 years. So they're everywhere. And there's a lot of them that are fake. That are, you know, my house was built on an Indian burial ground. Oh, really? You know?
Remember that story that we were talking about or we were listening to about the people who were doing the tough mudding? The Tough Mudders.
Yeah.
And there was a medium who had gone out because there was some activity around one of the houses close to that. And they were tough mudding over the Native American burial grounds. And the Native Americans had come to the psychic and said, please tell them to stop. We don't like this. Scary.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah. So.
Anyways. Rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But, you know, just an interesting topic. There's been, you know, movies about it. There's a ton of YouTube videos about the Bell Witch. There's all the paranormal shows have been there. There's a book that was published. Oh gosh, it was a long time ago, but it was called The Authenticated History of the Bell Witch. The author was Martin Van Buren Ingram, and he was the one that actually published he called it a poltergeist name, Kate. when she had claimed yeah. that her name was Old Kate Batts.
Batts.
But yeah, fascinating story.
Very fascinating. And it's what's neat is, though, the town has really embraced that mm-hmm. and kept the history alive.
Now, wasn't there a show that one of the descendants of John Bell did, and he was looking into the history?
Yeah, yeah.
I forget what it was called.
I started watching it.
Cursed or?
It's cursed.
Okay.
And I don't know what network it was on, but I was watching it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And at first I started watching, I'm like, this is so corny. This is dumb. And then the more I watched, I'm like, he really did a good job on that show. He made it not like all the other shows where they don't find stuff.
Uh-huh.
And he actually showed records, and he did I thought it was a really good show. I think I'm going to watch more of it again.
But it was interesting because when that guy who was a descendant of John Bell, they found John Bell's grave, mm-hmm. remember, out in the field.
It's in a woods.
You know, in a woods. And when they were out there, they started getting like freaky deaky feelings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then remember something smashed the taillight in of their car and the alarm was going off and the dog started to freak out.
They all of a sudden they kept saying, we're not leaving this spot. There's nothing you can do to make us leave this spot. And all of a sudden their car alarm started going off.
Oh my gosh.
And they get to their car and the taillight smashed out. And they're in the country.
Yeah, there's nobody else
off
around.
Off the beaten path. There's nobody. I mean, they're in the dark. They can see headlights for miles and nothing.
That's kind of creepy.
And they all ran back to their truck.
Yeah.
Which, hello, it made them leave the gravesite.
Exactly. And, you know, I thought he was believable because he's former law enforcement, you know? So it's mm-hmm. like he's going to investigate the history and the facts.
And that's what made that show really interesting because, like I said, when I first started, I'm like, oh, this is corny. This is, you know.
Yeah.
But it was so interesting because they did all the facts and they showed you how they did them. That's mm-hmm. what's so neat about it because a lot of the shows that you watch, they don't show you all the behind the scenes stuff. Like a half hour show takes a week to make, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Or more sometimes. Yeah. You know, being in movies myself, I know how long it takes just to shoot one scene.
Yeah, let's do this over because we didn't get this camera angle from over here.
Forever. Yeah. I remember one time I was an extra on a Disney movie. It was called Rat Race. It was like a remake of Rat Race.
Uh-huh.
And it had Whoopi Goldberg and John Lovett and, oh God, you know, a million people were in it. And we were out in the middle of the desert. And it was freezing cold. Now, we think desert, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't take jackets or anything because we were like, oh, we're out in the desert. It'll be warm. It was not. It was cold. And they did this one scene, and it took like 2 hours. They did it over and over, and we had to keep doing the same thing because we were like in the crowd like, ah! Oh, my gosh. It was just like,
you know what I find interesting
out of here.
Is you see a scene. Now this is, we're going down this rabbit hole, folks.
I know. We're hopping.
you see this scene on a show where everybody's in a restaurant or a bar and the music's playing and everybody's talking and all that. But when they're actually filming that, it's dead quiet and everybody's acting like they're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They always say broccoli, broccoli, broccoli. And it looks like they're having conversations.
So, I want to thank, at the end of the show here,
yes,
we have got a lot of new Facebook likes on Facebook, believe it or not, Facebook likes on Facebook. But, yeah, I want to thank everybody for all the likes and all the comments that they've been posting. And
just thanks for, you know, all our new listeners. We've had a ton of activity this month, a ton of downloads. I really hope that everybody enjoys, you know, what we're doing here and just bringing our little, what would you say? Our certain spin on a paranormal podcast.
Our paranormal spin on paranormal stuff.
Yes. But we want to hear your stories.
Yeah. And what's cool is I mentioned it on last week's show. I set up a Google phone number for people to call in and leave a message. I will not answer this phone, but it's 740-720-0225. Call in, leave us a message. Tell us how you like the show. Ask a question. I want to set up, maybe in a couple weeks, a question show where we'll play the people's or play your questions on the air. Mm-hmm. We'll actually play your voice on the air asking the question, and then I'll answer the questions and give us a few weeks, because if you ask a question I don't know the answer, I'm going to do some research and find the answer. Or you can email us at 222paranormal@gmail.com.
Yeah, definitely.
Just ask a question. Let's do a question and answer show.
Or if you have a really good personal experience, you know, with a ghostly encounter, a spirit encounter, you know, maybe a haunted object or a location you've been to, let us know about it. You know, like, tell us about it. You send us an email or leave us a voicemail at our number there, and, you know, we'd love to hear about it. And, you know, maybe we'll get you on the show to talk about it.
Yeah, so thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.
Once again, 740-720-0225. And I tried to save you for the music stuff. So, anyways, thanks a lot, everybody. And we will talk to you next week.
Yep, and go to our webpage, 222paranormal.com.
Paranormal.com.
Yep. Shop for some ghost equipment.
Yeah, I forgot to mention the ghost equipment on our page, but
next week we'll talk about it.
So we'll look into that later.
All right, bye, Joe.
Bye.